ask all of you to open up your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5. To you that are watching at home, open up your Bibles as well. Matthew chapter 5. Again, we've gone through the Beatitudes. We are in the big picture of the what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to read from verses 13 to 16 this morning. Chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything, but is to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Blessed Father God, I would ask that this word, which is your word, would go forth in power and might, that you would show yourself strong to each and every one of us this morning, Lord. I pray for a filling of your Spirit, Lord. I pray that again, in spite of me, Lord, you would just rule and reign supreme this day in each of our lives, that we would see real gospel growth, real transformation, Lord, because we are in love with Jesus, we're in love with your word, we're being filled with your Spirit, Lord. Do the miracles in each one of our lives this day. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. It's kind of fun. This glorious Sermon on the Mount is truly about kingdom life in a fallen world. Jesus is really answering the question, in how then shall we live in today's sinful, immoral culture? How can we, as Christ followers, follow Christ in the most effective manner in the day and age in which we live? And as you look at verses 13 and 14 in your Bibles, both of these verses start with you. You is the three-letter word that you are to pay attention to in this text. Jesus isn't speaking to people at large or people in general, all right? Jesus is specifically and purposely speaking to you, his true followers, his faithful disciples. You who love Jesus. And as we follow the flow of this marvelous Sermon on the Mount, I want you to notice what we're called to immediately following the Beatitudes, all right? Immediately following the Beatitudes. We see this wonderful thing worked out here. In other words, we are blessed to be by God to serve God. We are blessed by God to be salt and light in this decaying and darkened world. We are blessed by God so that our gospel witness will go forth from our lips and lives. Once again, we are being reminded of the central place that a serving and sanctified life in Christ is meant to have. We become gospelizers, evangelists, proclaimers, and examples of gospel truth as we live out these Beatitudes on a daily basis. And we live these truths out within the context of where God has put us. And he has put common ground here in such a time as this, in a season such as this, during a pandemic, during a plague, if you will. And again, has been prayed and mentioned, this isn't the first time Christ and his church has been through plagues and sickness and disease and calamity. God is still in charge, beloved. God isn't surprised or caught off guard by this virus. And the big theme, the central theme of the Sermon on the Mount is Christ's kingdom. And you and I have a responsibility in seeing Christ's kingdom expand. And we want to see that happen. And in these next verses, we discover again the transforming power in being a faithful gospel witness. Jesus calls us, listen to what he calls us. He calls us his followers, what? Salt and light. These are purposeful metaphors that Jesus is using to describe for us what we are to be doing and living. What we are, in fact. What we are. It says you are, if you look at your Bibles, it says you are salt of the earth. It says you are the light of the world. You and I are presently and actively and factually these God-given metaphors. Jesus isn't commanding us to be something. He isn't urging us to become something that we are currently not. All right? He is telling us what we already are in him, what we are as kingdom people. I want you to see that. That's how it is written. That verb are there in those both locations there in both those verses is present, active, indicative. It says again, furthermore, notice, I want you to notice this. The all-encompassing proportion, the largeness, if you will, the fullness of capacity, the comprehensiveness of these verses. It says, you are the salt of what? It says, the earth. It says, you are the light of what? Light of the world, all right? Not just to your family, not just your school or your neighborhood or state or even country, but to this entire planet. All right? Thus, wherever we go and whomever we encounter, we are at that present moment, salt and light. There's no place on this earth or in this world where we are not gospel-breathing witnesses of Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? So wherever you go about on your daily walk, your daily business, wherever you are, be it at the grocery store, or be it at the gas station, or be it within your family, or in your school friends, or wherever in your neighborhood, you are salt and light at that given moment. Amen? Amen. Very good. And again, it fits perfectly with the Great Commission verses that are found throughout the Bible. In the going and making and disciples of what? Of all nations. Of all languages, tribes, and people groups. Everyone needs to hear the gospel, and that happens, when you and I are salt and light. So now we're going to look a little further, a little deeper into these two divine metaphors. The two divine metaphors are very simple.
Flavoring and seasoning influence and impact to those around us. We truly should. People should recognize
supposed Christian university, okay? And so I threw a little salt her way. I asked, you know, I just asked her some questions about the paper. I said, you realize that climate change has been going on for thousands and thousands of years, by the way. I just want you to know that. I don't know. And she said, oh, yeah, I know that. And I said, but anyway, I'm just throwing, I wasn't contradicting anything. I just threw out a little bit of salt, you know, a little bit of question I had her, you know, thinking about what's going on here. And I was able to mention Jesus to her again in a way that realizing that whether she prays or believes in Christ or not, I'm not sure. But it's a very fascinating thing. Again, let your speech be seasoned with salt, it says, which is similar to Ephesians 4:29. It says, no foul or rotten or unwholesome language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. Again, it's speaking again of our Christian witness. Christian witness. Beloved, people should recognize Jesus in us, right? They really should. To the point that they want to taste of him and discover that he is indeed so very good. We just sang a song up here this morning, if you notice, that they're talking about God. He's sweeter than what? The honey in a honeycomb. If you caught the lyric there. I know I did. I hope you did as well. Furthermore, salt is a preservative. All right? It slows down decay. Thus, as we live out those blessed beatitudes in our lives, we are able to slow down the sinful decay and decadence of our present fallen society. When you are salt of the earth, you are able to preserve society. We, in this coronavirus age, this is a good one, are a moral disinfectant. As we come in contact with others, up to 6 feet, by the way, in our sphere of influence, in the front lines of ministry. Unsalty salt, now think about it. Unsalty salt is the same as saying unwet water. All right? True and pure salt, beloved, cannot ever lose its saltiness. It's an impossibility. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again, and it illustrates perfectly also what salt can do. There was a time where me and Katie were snorkeling in Mexico. I was at this time out and about in the oceans, in the Pacific Ocean, snorkeling. And I was out there with a guy named Ross, a good high school buddy that graduated with me and Katie. And I mentioned this. We had the whole ocean to swim around in. And as we're swimming around, we're snorkeling, looking at the fish and the different things underwater, you know, and so on. I suppose I better stand here. Me and Ross, it's just bizarre, you know. We hit heads. We bang. It's like, and hard. It's like, come on, you got the old ocean, and we run into each other head on, just boom. And we come up, and it's wavy and stuff, and we're just laughing our heads off. By this time, I'm sucking in salt water and, you know, laughing my snorkel and stuff. And little did I know, but I was drifting over some very sharp coral. And it just, it sliced, I still got the scar. My ankle just sliced up my ankle. I'm bleeding profusely. And, you know, blood going through the water, I'm thinking to myself, oh, great, sharks. I better get in the boat sooner than later. You know, I'm still laughing, I huff and puff, I get in the boat. But I don't know about you, but an open wound in salt, in high-density salt water, brings a sting to it. And when people know and see that you're different, that you're a true follower of Jesus, here's one of two things. It can either sting some, it really does. Sometimes we'll speak the truth in love and it'll have an effect that's just, you know, they find it whatever, sting, it just stings them. And another effect is that we can bring flavor and influence and encouragement and love and grace to others. And you'll see that in your life wherever you walk. It's going to happen, beloved, as we witness for Jesus. There's no getting around that. Are you hearing this? If you walk around thinking that I'm just going to be really nice and I'll never talk about this or that and I'll just be so friendly and so nice so that everybody likes me, You're not representing Jesus at that point. You really, truly aren't. But I want you to look at this text. There's a warning here in these verses as well that must indeed be heeded. For if you're not salty, it says, or become flavorless in your gospel witness, or just don't care about influencing others and pointing others to Jesus, you probably were never a true follower to begin with. If we're not influencing others for Jesus, we're in serious trouble. We're in serious trouble. Those who profess to be Christian and yet cease to be different, cease to be salty, guess what? Cease to be Christian. To be sanctified in Christ is to be set apart for Christ for his purposes. If your goal is to become more and more like Jesus, you will make a difference in this world. But if your goal is to blend in with the world and become like the world, you are definitely tasteless and saltless and flavorless. And at that point, as the text says, listen to what the text says, you're basically good for nothing, as it says in here in verse 13. It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Let's look at the next divine metaphor that Jesus uses for us. Number two, Christ's followers are light. Christ's followers are light. You are the light of the world. How are we? How are we the light in this darkened world? That's the first clue. For light can only shine where it's dark. I've mentioned it before, a sermon once, illustration. You don't play flashlight tag in the daytime. It's just silly. You can't see the stars. We live amongst a fearful and frightened people. Those who are outside of Christ, I've never seen such fear and trembling in a way that's just not healthy at all. I'm praying that the light of the gospel will break into their hearts. And the great news is that Jesus is this true light, the only light, in fact, that is able to turn back the darkness and dispel the fear and the anxiousness and calm our hearts. God is what? Our rock and our refuge, is he not? In a time of need and trouble, he's there for us. We have to stand on this truth, beloved, during these difficult times. Now, here's the big idea of these amazing verses. And it's found in verse 16. If I was to ask you, you should all know this, the answer for this, but if I was to ask you, what is your ultimate purpose? What is the reason for your existence? I hope you would be able to tell me that. What should bring to you the greatest satisfaction and your ultimate joy? It's to glorify and what? Worship the one true God. And as Jesus is true and faithful followers, as his beloved witnesses, ambassadors, as salt and of the earth and light of the world, we find our purpose. It says right here in this text, when we are to live as salt and light, as we represent Jesus to the greatest degree possible, as we walk by faith, as we become more and more Christ-like each and every day, as we go about our daily business in these very unusual times, it says that we glow, we shine, we radiate, we glimmer, we light up the darkness to the point that people take notice. They see us as different. They see and realize, it says in this text, they see your good works. And then the result and purpose is this. It says that they will give glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving and worship to the one true God in heaven, to the Father of glory, who deserves it all anyway. Who deserves it all anyway. Now, this is a very interesting verse. I'm going to read it here. You don't have to turn to it. Ephesians chapter 2. Some of you know this one. 8 through 10, it says, we are saved by what? By grace, right? By grace alone, really? Through what? Faith. Faith alone. This is not from ourselves. We don't save ourselves. This grace and faith are gifts given to us from God. It is, and it says right there, it is what? God's gift. Not from, now this is interesting, not from works, so that no one can boast. So it's not a self-righteousness, a works righteousness type thing here. And yet the very next sentence that Paul says here, for we are his, we are God's, Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. Isn't that amazing? In one sentence, he says, it's not about works. In another sentence, he says, it is about works. So how do you reconcile that? And we see it in this text, too, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God who's in heaven. Well, those good works are an outworking of just who we are in Christ as being that salt and that light to this dead and decaying planet. It just comes up. Jesus somehow supernaturally uses that for his glory. But we don't do it in a sense that, oh, I'm earning brownie points for I'm better than you because I'm doing this or that. It's just part of who we are. It's an outworking of the work of the Spirit in our life and our love for Jesus. And beloved, during these crazy days, and let's be honest, we haven't seen anything like this in our lifetime. We really haven't. We really haven't. But in these crazy days, I would tell you more than ever, it's important that we serve others, that we care for others, that we pray for others, that we love others by demonstrating through what? Good works, not just talking about it. I just don't want to say, yeah, be warm and be filled and get out of here. No, how can we serve? Here's what I want to tell you. I want to challenge you guys. I've challenged my elders, and I don't know if they've done this yet. But call the shut-ins. Call Mary and John. I called them again this morning. They're ecstatic. And they want to, that's all they can do right now is talk to people. And they'll want to talk and ask to talk to both of them, all right? Mary said, you got to talk to John, too, because he's going crazy. And as I said the other day, Mary said to me, she goes, Gary, if I didn't like him somewhat, I would have killed him by now. It was just classic Mary. But so I just want to encourage you to give them a call and say, how are you doing? And the good news is right now that they actually have a service that is bringing groceries to them. They leave them outside on this table, and they just go out and pick them up. So that's great for them. So just be encouraged. We need to be doing that. We need to be doing that. Beloved, I'm praying that Jesus would be our purpose. He would be our purpose. His glory, our end, and the making of disciples, our primary work. Living for Christ brings glory to Christ. Ultimately, being salt and light points to the penetrating power of the gospel and the people who are being transformed by it. Amen? Truly. Let's pray. Blessed Father God, we love you. We need you. We want more of you. We ask for your forgiveness in our areas where we have fallen short of being the light and the salt that you've called us to be. Lord, we are those things. So may we go forth as salt and light this day, this week, until we return again next Sunday, Lord willing. But wherever we are stuck during this time of this virus, that you would be there for us. And Lord, I want to pray this a closing prayer that you would, again, just stop the virus sooner than later. You're able to do that. And that we would give you the glory and the praise and the honor. We love you. We need you. In Jesus' name.